It may sound strange, but how many of y'all, I'm going to ask you, how many of you all in here are led by your head? Everybody, you got a head, don't you? So it's a natural thing. You led by your head. It's not more important than my body, but it carries higher rank because it has more responsibility. Now, but this thing about caring, being led by your head, is very important. It's important to have a head. Amen. You have a head on your shoulders. And he says here that the husband is the head. The husband is the head of the wife. That's what he says. But I want you to notice here is that the first thing I want us to see Jesus leading by example. If you are going, amen, to lead by example, there must be servant leadership. Amen. There must be servant leadership. Because what he says here in this verse, that the husband is the head of the wife, but then he goes on to give an example. That even as Christ is the head of the church. Amen. Even as Christ is the head of the church. Now this is, verse 32 tells us it's a great mystery. He got through talking about marriage, and he says, this is a great mystery, but I'm really not talking about the marriage of the man and the woman. I'm really talking about the marriage of the church in Christ. He said, that's a mystery. That's a sacred secret that's difficult for you to figure out. But he said, this whole thing is strange, that every marriage is modeling Christ in the church. That's deep. That's you have to study on that, do a personal study. But he said, when you talk about God got all these marriages around here, and they're doing nothing but shouting out messages about Christ in the church. The husband represents Christ, and the woman represents the church. And we've gone over some of that in previous messages, but what we must understand here is that there must be servant leadership. And because it says that the husband is the head of the wife, even as, and that means that Christ is the example. How is he the head of the wife? He said, what does that mean? I'm confused. Oh, even as? He said, let me give you an example. Let me clear it up for you. Even as Christ is the head of the church? He said, did that clear it up for you? And he is the savior of the body. He came to serve. He came to save. Jesus Christ is. Now, when we talk about a savior, he came to save, not to be saved. Did he? The man, when he, in relation to the woman, the wife, the husband in relation to the wife, is not there to get, he's there to give. He's not there to be served. That's totally different from the way the world thinks, isn't it? He's not there to be served. He's there to serve. And what you do is you submit to God and he reap the benefits of it, but he's not there to make you serve him. He comes as a servant. Isn't that totally different from the way the world looks at it? Amen. He comes. The thing about it is, it's good to have a head over you because that helps you to treat people right who are under you. It's good to have a head over you because it helps you to treat folk who you are a head over. You can gauge how you want to be treated and things of that nature because you know how you wouldn't want your head to treat you. So everybody's got to have a head. Amen. God is not put this thing into place where the head don't have a head? I'm not submitting to my husband. I'm submitting to God, who is submitting, who my husband is submitting to. Amen. Amen. My husband got a head. And that's where the safety comes in, is that he is not a head in and of himself. He has a head. And I'm going to skip to the end of this, but the truth is that you must understand that he has a head. Now, if he does not recognize that he's there to give and not to get, then he won't become a provider where he provides himself for you. He will become like a parasite, just getting all he can out of you. Unlike so many men today who think they ought to be served, they sit in the middle of the living room and bring me a paper, amen. Bring me my food, amen. Bring me my dinner. Bring me a beer, amen. I know none of y'all said that, but amen. They control, amen, the thermostat, and they control the remote, and she has no say over nothing. She ain't got nothing to say, amen. She serves me. It's my way or the highway. I control the money. I control. But you know, there's some men like that. They're domineering. They're domineering men. And they think that their wife is just there to only serve them and to really just shut up and don't say nothing. And I am ruling, and I am the one. Amen. Amen. And they control everything, and that is not the way that God set it up for them to wait on you hand and foot. Amen. And what they have forgotten simply is that he says that he is the savior of the body. The head saved the body. Jesus saved us, the church. We are his bride. All of us are the bride. And he is the savior of the body. That's what he said that the husband is supposed to be. He's supposed to be the one to provide the salvation, which I'll get into later on, the savior of the body. He's there to save, to be the savior of the body. Amen. One translation says he's the savior, notice this, of his body, the church. So now what man has failed to recognize is that we fail to overlook that the identity of the husband is now, they are identified as one. They are not identified as individuals. They are identified because he's saving his body. The church is his body. Verse 28 tells us that so ought men to love wives as their own body, because he is their body. Amen. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Amen. And what happens when it becomes dangerous is when he begins to treat you as separate from him. You forgot about the immersion. You forgot about the merging. The identity now, you became one in name. You became one in family. You became one in the children. All of this now is one. You got one address. It's all merged now. It's the merging of two identities. It's not that you here and she's over there, you all are together and you make one. The head and the body, the head is not over there and the body is over there and the head is over there. No, he can't exist without the body and the body can't exist without the head. But what I like this morning is that Jesus led by example. He led by example. And he led by example. Jesus was submitted to God. And God loved the church. He called Israel his bride. So Jesus knows how to treat a woman. Amen. He knows how to treat a woman because he led by example. He was willing to do it as he watched God, who is love, love and save a wretch like me. Now, once you recognize that she is you and you are her, then you will treat her better because she's you, if I can say it that way. Amen. I don't know if I'm getting this, but all I'm doing is being obedient to what he told me. I don't know if you're getting it. That ain't my problem. I'm doing the best I can, but you know, what we're praying for, Lee, is change. What we're praying for here is change. Because God loved the church. And when you recognize that she's you and you are her, you'll treat her better. Because you, the way you treat her is the way you treat her. You benefit when you treat her good because she's a part of you. I benefit when I don't hit my toe because I'm going to hurt. My toe just not going to hurt by itself. Is it getting connected? That's the Bible. That's treat her as your own, and that's what Luke 6:30. Well, I'm trying to hold my horses here. Amen. Amen. Let me calm down because I done got excited. This is a mystery. You can't treat her wrong and not hurt yourself. And make yourself look, you can't treat her wrong and not make yourself look bad. And the Bible says, when you recognize that now you're her and she's you, then what you do to you, what you do to her, the Bible says, in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, I believe it, he says that as you would that men would do unto you, do ye also to them. So it's about how you treat a lady. Treat her like you treat you. And you must be willing to do that, to treat people right. Make no mistake about it. People remember how they are treated. They may not remember this sermon when they leave here. People may not remember Sister Decker's prayer. They may not remember this choir singing, but they will remember how they are treated at Zion Rest. People remember how they are treated. And so how you treat people is important. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he says that I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life a ransom. Jesus says, I'm a servant leader. I'm the kind of leader that came to give. I didn't come to get something out of somebody else. I came to give. I came to minister. I came to love. Amen. Whether I get anything in return or not, I came not to be served, but to serve. Unlike the folk that, amen, a man in the world. I came to serve, not to be served. Amen. Jesus says that I came. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, that he made himself of no reputation. And what did he do? He took on the form of a servant. That's what he did. He took on the form of a servant. But he did it of his own free will. He was not forced to do it. God did not force him to do it. He did it of his own free will. He took on himself the form of a servant. And he came down and he was made in the likeness of men. That's what Jesus did. So we ought to show servant leadership because of their rank and because of their responsibility. Amen. He's came to save the body. Amen. We must recognize his not only his servant leadership if we are going to lead by example, is that we must recognize his sacrificial love. His sacrificial love. Jesus' love was a sacrifice. A sacrifice was a gift that was presented to the gods. It was something when you gave up something of value to someone else. And Jesus gave his sacrificial love. This says in verse 25 that in order to save us, he loved us. So he says, husbands, love your wife. You say, well, what does that mean, love your wife? Even as. See, every time God get ready to tell him to do something, he say, here's an example for you. Here's an example. Here's an example. Now, if you're going to be over your wife, you got to show me that Jesus can be over you. Amen. I want to skip through this. The bottom line is, I'm going to mess up this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I can't because I don't have time. The truth is, and I haven't been on this too long. I want to get off this series. I got to go to demons and prayer. But the truth is that Jesus Christ set the example. He says, husband, love your wife. The Bible, one translation says, husbands, show the same kind of love to your wives as Christ showed to the church as he died for it. That same kind of love that Christ showed for the church. Because verse 25 says that Christ loved the church and he did something. He gave himself for it. Yes, he did. He gave himself for the church. And so he says, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. Even as Christ loved the church. The Message Bible says this way, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives exactly as Christ died for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Go all out. It didn't say that Jesus Christ, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, who got something, but he gave himself. He gave himself. And so that is what he's saying, that we ought to give. And Jesus here, although ancient culture said that the women were not to be loved, they were only to submit, we see Jesus here again leading by example. He's leading by example. That's what he's doing. And what he says here is that we ought to love. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, husbands, talking about this same verse, husbands, love your wives. And notice what else it says in Colossians 3:19, and be not bitter against them. Huh? Love your wives and don't be bitter at them. Don't be bitter, resentful, cold and angry, holding grudges against your wife. You got another rank. You represent Christ. You got to show that you can love the unlovable. Amen. The church is not perfect, is it? But we're the bride of Christ. Does Christ love us? In spite of our flaws? In spite of our mistakes? Although we are sometimes hard to get along with? Disobedient? Won't do this, won't do that? Won't act right? Won't even treat each other right? But has God divorced us? Has God gotten mad at us? Is he cold and bitter? Well, you're the example. You want God to love you, right? Then lead by example. Show that you can love somebody that are unlovely if you want to be loved knowing you are unlovely. People are bitter. This proves that God does not, he's not pleased with a loveless relationship. Don't hold back on the romance. Don't hold back on the love. Don't be bitter. It's interesting that he put that in there in Colossians 3:19. Love your wives and don't be bitter against them. I know that they aren't perfect, but the antidote is love. When you start loving them, you'll find out that some of those other things will go away. Just pour a lot of love on her. Just look beyond her faults. Amen. God used the bride to illustrate how much we need. Amen. God's love. We know we need God's love. Don't be bitter. Bitter people are nasty, resentful, cold, and anger. And somebody said bitterness is always buried alive. Amen. Bitter. When you get bitter at somebody and you bury it and you kind of got over it, you didn't fix it, you just buried it. But tell your neighbor, it's always buried alive. One book I read said that when couples don't resolve their differences, you may have heard me say this before, those problems will resurface throughout the life of the relationship until they are dealt with. You see, God loves us, but he also tells us to confess when you make me mad, and let's get this fixed, and repent, and get over it. Now, if you want to be forgiven, you got to be a forgiver, and so we can go on. You still holding grudges and you're bitter because you won't get over something when God then forgave you of everything you ever done. And there you are holding grudges, mad at somebody, won't sleep on the same and won't hug nobody. Amen. You're bitter. You're bitter. Amen. Not only will we not show love, God is not pleased with a loveless relationship. He said, let's make up. God is not pleased with a loveless relationship. Some people will not only not give love, they won't even say, I love you. When last time you said, I love you to your wife? Amen. They not only won't give it, they won't even say it. You know why they won't say it? Because they're mad about something. I'm gonna have to stop. It's 9:20. I do need to stop. Amen. They mad about something, and they got a grudge, and they forgot how mad God ought to be at them. I gotta skip over this. We got too many. You see, you gotta lead by example. And God is not pleased with a loveless relationship. God so loved the world that he gave his life for someone who didn't deserve it. You got to love your spouse when they don't deserve it. Amen. Give them what they need the most when they deserve it the least. When they done messed up and done all these things wrong, are you big enough to do it? Are you big enough to show love to your, amen, amen. Are you big enough? It's sacrificial love. It means that I'm going to make a sacrifice. I'm going to be self-sacrificing. I'm going to be someone who is willing to make the sacrifice, to pay the price to love. It's going to cost me to love. Amen. It's easy to love somebody when they deserve it. But can you love somebody that don't deserve loving? Can you love the unlovable? Can you love the unlovely? Can you love those who are not doing what they ought to do? Can you love them? Jesus voluntarily loved. The Bible says that he came all the way down from heaven and he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, Jesus Christ gave his life. Amen. John 10:18 says that no man take my life. I was not forced into this. I love this world, and I am going to give to this world. Jesus Christ says that you ought to say, we ought to recognize how important it is to love. Let us stand to our feet. Amen. I'm not through, but I'm gonna. God says that we ought to love. Amen. We ought to lead by example. Do you know how many headless homes? I got to get this in. Amen. I'm gonna skip over part of it, but do you know how many homes there are? Do you know why we're here this morning? We're here this morning, amen. We're here this morning because Jesus Christ led by example. Jesus, you know why we're here this morning? We're here this morning because that God loved us so much. You know why we're here this morning? Because we have a loving Father. We're not here because we're so crazy about each other. Because the truth is, we probably get on each other's nerve all the time. But we come back Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because we can't stop following that man named Jesus who loved us by example. He says, I'm going to tell you how you love your wife, but I'm going to love you. I'm going to show you that I can love you. And if you want me to love you, you ought to be willing to love your wife. You know why so many marriages that are messy and they're still holding on? Because of their commitment to God. It's not because their marriage is perfect. You know why they didn't get a divorce? Because they were committed to God. Amen. They are committed to God. God's love is so effective. But yet, all over the world, there are headless homes. All over the world, there are people. Now, get this. All over the world, there are people who are marrying people who don't have heads. That's why you ought to marry a Christian. Because if you marry a non-Christian, you're marrying somebody who don't have a head. I just skipped to the end of what I wrote. You're marrying somebody who don't have a head at all. Imagine that. That's an unaccountable husband. They can say to you whatever they want to, but this husband here is limited by God. He says, submit yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Yet, all over the world, people are marrying, and they have headless homes. Homes who don't have heads. So they're in relationships with people who want to be over them but won't let nobody be over them. And if you want to be over somebody, you ought to lead by example and let somebody be over you. But yet, they won't let nobody be over them. Nobody tells them what to do, yet they want their wife to do everything they tell them to do. Headless homes.